Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And my name is Ben Bolin. I hang with Scott. I do some things, and I say some stuff.
Good. See, you're being very vague again.
Well, you know.
Covert?
Well, I was thinking about actually going covert, going underground for a while. You know, Studio 1A, we've got our fingers in a lot of pies, so to speak, internationally. And, well, I'm not at liberty to say exactly what I'm getting into, Scott, but I can tell you that it involves involves maybe a little bit of travel.
Really?
Uh-huh. Hypothetically.
Hypothetical travel.
I can never confirm nor deny. Neither.
Yeah, I understand.
So that's why we stumbled upon this episode of Car Stuff. Mm-hmm. This is about the driver's license.
Yeah, but not just any driver's license. We're talking about an international driver's license. And a lot of people may not have ever even heard of something like this. The only reason we stumbled across it really was because we actually had a listener that asked about driving from I believe it's from Canada, or was it somewhere here in North America?
Yeah.
All the way down to the very tip of South America. And, you know, he's asking about licensing, actually, oddly enough. And I said, I don't think I'd worry so much about the license. I would worry about the Darien Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
you
mentioned that in the past, right?
I mean,
there's a segment of the Pan American Highway, right?
One of the most dangerous.
Well, it's missing. There's nothing there. You got to get through something like 20 miles of Panamanian jungle.
Which makes it dangerous if you're not expecting it.
And swamp. It's like a swampy jungle area. It's not something that you can really get through. Mm-hmm. And that's the only hitch in the plan, I guess.
Right. But who are we to tell people that they shouldn't pursue their dreams?
No. Give it a shot because you can ship the car around that section. Mm-hmm. You can do that anyway.
And what a story it'll be.
Exactly.
So we decided that we wanted to just take a moment and address some of the ideas about an international driver's license. Mm-hmm. So first off, what is it?
Well, quite simply, do you want to tell them?
Okay,
it looked like you were about ready to break into it there, so I didn't want to step on your toes. But basically what it comes down to is this. It's a backup for your standard driver's license that you have issued here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it's just another form of documentation that goes along with your driver's license that explains that you are a valid registered driver to someone of another country.
And you have to carry your regular license with you.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, you have to carry the other one with you at all times. So you have to have both pieces of ID. Actually, there are three pieces of ID. There's a card that you get with an international driver's license. Mm-hmm. And the card has, you know, just your typical information, your driving information.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is like a booklet that's almost like a passport-sized booklet.
In 9 languages.
Exactly. I heard 10.
Is it 10?
I think it's 10.
It might be 10 now.
Well, maybe it's maybe English.
Are they counting English?
I don't know, because it would be on your driver's license anyways, and you would have no problem communicating that, I would think.
Got to cover the bases, bro.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But the thing is that these licenses are valid in more than 150 countries, and there's a whole list of countries that that participate in this, and it's part of when was it? A UN, a United Nations convention.
Yes, sir.
That happened, and there's several years where these road and traffic safety conventions were held, so going back to the 20s, the 40s, and it looks like the 60s, where these international driving permits kind of sprang forth, I guess. The countries listed here, I mean, there's everything. It's Peru, Honduras, Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Jordan, Bulgaria, and there's, you know, an alphabetical list here that you can go through. But like I said, it's more than 150 different countries that's valid in. But you do have to have your state ID along with it. You can't just use the international license alone. It won't be accepted.
And so that's, if there's 150 countries that accept it, then that means there's a little more than 40, between 40 and 50 that don't. Because depending on who you talk to in the UN, some countries are not considered countries.
Exactly. So do your research before you head out and buy one of these.
Yeah, and plus, do you really want to go to a place that's already not considered? You know, that seems kind of dangerous.
That's another good point, is that, you know, where exactly you're headed. You might want to look into that.
But the majority of countries do accept this license, and more countries accept the international driver's license than accept your domestic U.S. license.
Correct. That's correct. But you do have to have both at the same time.
You have to have it.
It's catch 22 that you have to have both at the same time. Now, the reason for that is that you can't use it as a substitute license. Let's say if your license was suspended or revoked,
right?
You know that doesn't count as a driver's license. You can't just use that here in the States and say that you're licensed, or anywhere. You have to have both. You have to be 18 in order to have this. So even though you can drive at 16 in a lot of states, you have to wait until you're 18 to get an international license.
You don't have to take a test, though.
No, that's right. Yeah, you're right. There's no test required because you've already taken the test for your state.
Hey-o.
And you've got your license. So that's really all the proof you need. Now, what you do need to apply, you'll find this in, you know, on any of the sites that mention international driver's licenses. You need a photocopy of your current valid driver's license. You need an applicant's photo in color with a blank background. So it's like a passport-type photo.
Yeah.
That you need, really. And there's very specific requirements for that, so, you know, make sure you look into that as well. And, of course, the form, you know, there's an application form that you can find at several different – well, actually, a couple different websites, not several. There's only a few places that this is available.
There's AAA, National Auto Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And let's see. I don't know if the .gov sites actually have the have the application.
I found one that was called IDLService.com.
Yes, that's recommended by the...
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's mentioned. Yeah.
Recommended by the government?
I believe so,
okay, very good. So IDLService.com. And, you know, the thing about this is there's a fee that goes with it. It's kind of like a passport fee, really, when you look at it this way. I mean, it's... You can choose how long your document is good for. You can decide that, you know, you want it good for 1 year, and that's $35 right now.
Keep going.
3 years is $45, 5 years is $55, and 10 years is $75. So you can go all the way up to 10 years validity on this thing. And then, of course, you know, you pay shipping to get it back to you, and, you know, there's priority mail and, you know, business next day express and that type of thing. It really isn't all that expensive. You can buy insurance on this thing, so if you do lose it while you're abroad, you can or if you're a man, you can bring that. I'm just kidding. If you lose your license while you're overseas, you can have this. Replacement sent, you know, directly to you, and there'll be no issue at all, no cost, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's just kind of it's an interesting thing to have, but as we found out,
yeah, you don't. Majority of Americans don't need it.
No, you don't really need it.
You want to go to Canada. That's fine. Drive to Canada.
True. Yeah. True. Yeah. And, you know, you'll find that people that have traveled to Europe and, you know, they've traveled to Mexico and they've gone, you know, the usual places.
Yeah.
Head over to Italy and they're going to have a long week there and they're going to rent a car.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no problem. As long as you're able to speak to the authorities there and the rental car agency and, you know, communicate exactly what you're doing and they can understand the English that's printed on your license, then you're okay. It's not a bad idea to have one just so that, you know, this translation is there and it eases the way, I guess, really.
Yeah, especially if you have to travel a lot and you have to rent a car most times.
Exactly. But this it's really an optional thing. It's useful, but it's optional.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's going to be very few instances where you'll actually really need this thing.
Right.
You can, like I said, you can drive a car in almost any country in the world if you have one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You can rent a car. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, really. I mean, in those 150 countries.
Still functions as ID.
Exactly. It's ID. It's backup ID, you know, for your passport. Let's say you need another form of ID with a photo.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Because, you know, that's often asked. And, you know, what are you going to give them? Your astronaut application, you know, card or what, you know? I don't know.
A
jerk.
Okay, look, when I applied for that, I thought it was real. Okay. I know it's my fault, but I wish you wouldn't bring it up on
air. The Jerk. You remember the movie The Jerk?
I saw it years ago.
Going through his wallet, he pulls one thing out. It was like his astronaut application form or something like that.
We need more of those around the office.
I think he missed everything except his name and date of birth or something like that. Whatever. I forget the exact quote.
Yeah.
And you mentioned already that there's no test involved. So, you know, it's really just a matter of sending away for this thing like you would for a passport. But do you really need one? The short answer is no.
I would, I'm going to go with you part of the way, Scott. I'm going to say probably not.
Mm-hmm.
If you did decide to get one and you weren't traveling anywhere, then really all it is something cool to show people.
Ah, true.
Say, hey, look at my international driver's license book.
Sure. It's like a deputy sheriff badge that you've received somewhere.
Did you see that?
Yeah. You've got one, do you?
Yeah.
Maybe it's on your coat. I didn't see it.
No, we have some. Oh. But I don't think they're real. I hope they're not real.
Oh, I hope so.
I certainly hope this is not how I find out that I am a deputy. but yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say the average person probably does not need this. Now, Scott, one thing that makes it a little bit different here is that you and I are not – super versed in the driving laws of Western Europe. So we don't know how that works.
Correct.
If there's an EU listener or something, then we're not going to misspeak. But for our friends driving through Canada, North America, Mexico, hitting Central America and going through South America, mm-hmm. it probably is a good investment just because once you get past Mexico, the laws for these other countries in Central and South America are not going to be the same in every country.
Oh, sure. It's highly individualized. I mean,
right.
you're gonna find some places you'll need different documentation than others, like you said. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you may find this is, you know, one of the small countries that you absolutely have to have it or also make you track all the way around that country.
Yeah, which you don't want to do.
No, that would be a bad thing to do. So, you know, a 2,000-mile diversion in your trip, that would be bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of the nature of an adventure, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Hazard
yeah.
of the adventure business.
I guess.
But so I think I might get one just so I feel cool. But I know it's not going to do anything.
So you're going to pony up the $35 or $75 even?
Just the year.
Just one year. So $35.
I'll keep the expired one.
Gotcha.
If I'm not using it anyway.
You're going to have it shipped overnight though, aren't you?
You'll never know until you see me pull it out, and then
true.
We'll see how the tide has turned.
True. You'll be the cool guy in the office. You'll probably be the only one here with an international license.
I don't know. We have a lot of interesting people.
You know, there's a lot of travelers here.
There are quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Maybe there is somebody here that has one. We haven't even taken up a poll around the office to see if anybody has one.
We should check it out. We should also ask listeners to write in.
Yes,
if
definitely.
You guys have an idea about this.
Yeah, well, if you have one. If you have a license and when has it, you know, been useful to you?
Yeah, or has it?
Yeah, or has it been useful? Mm. Is it something that just remains in your wallet all the time?
Yeah, because we're not being dismissive. We're just curious.
Exactly.
And just to make a point about us liking listener mail, what do you think, Scott? Should we do some right now?
I think that's a good idea. All right, Ben, we got a note here from Jerry, and Jerry is from Valdosta, Georgia.
Jerry has written to us before.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I remember that name. Well, one thing I should mention here is Jerry gives a couple of nicknames.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, okay.
You want yours or mine first?
I want yours first.
Okay, Scott Bloodhound Benjamin.
Oh,
I guess that's for the Bloodhound SSC.
Yeah.
The new one, right? You would be Ben Road Rally Bullen.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's not bad, huh?
Road Rally.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad.
Bloodhound.
Not bad. All right. Well, thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
And not only that, but Jerry wrote in about our antique license plate podcast.
Oh, okay.
And he says he actually experienced some excitement over the topic because it's something that he's been thinking about recently, I guess. He sees a lot of plates around, you know, where he lives, a lot of antique plates, and kind of questions the validity of some of them as well.
right.
Because he mentioned he was on I-75 and noticed an antique plate on a Datsun pickup that was in front of him. And he said everything that he had heard from us came flooding back to him all in one moment. But he did say, here's one interesting thing, and this is the real point of the email here, is that he says that as you know, it occurred to him that perhaps a new plate is needed, a cultural icon plate. And perhaps it might fit cars like the Yugo a little better, cars that have a certain place in our collective consciousness for sure, but definitely not in a parade. So he's saying that, you know, it's not really classic. It's not something that, you know, you'd care to see in a parade necessarily at this point. But it does have a place in history. You know, something that, you know, we all are familiar with, and it's to that age. And, you know, to see one as a rarity at this point. So, you know, somebody has in some way likely preserved it in a manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he's saying a cultural icon plate might be a good idea.
That's a good point because this is this is not the first email we've received wherein someone is telling us that maybe there should be further divisions mm-hmm. for plates.
Yeah, exactly. And
I'm with that.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Golden Age was the other one.
See, but that's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. But anytime you have a new category like this, then what fits in that category? What fits in a cultural icon category? Mm-hmm. And you could argue about that all day.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's up to the interpretation of the owner and the interpretation of the agency that's doling out the icon plates.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I got a quick one to listen to.
Oh, good.
Before
yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Jerry. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you, Jerry. All right. So Jed writes in from Brooklyn, New York. And Jed wanted to also talk about license plates. Mm-hmm. He said, in answer to one of the questions Ben brought up about diplomatic license plates, Google search of UN parking tickets will bring up a host of articles that outline a pretty funny kerfuffle, nice word,
yeah.
That's been going on here for as long as I've lived here. Diplomats' cars are ticketed, says Jed, but they aren't required to pay under federal law. However, New York City does keep an account of the money owed, and every once in a while, a mayor with a bee in his bonnet will make a stink about it. Even the Secretary General of the UN has had to make concessions and statements and agreements to pay have been made, but no money has ever actually changed hands as far as Jed knows.
This is funny.
Thanks for writing in, Jed.
Yeah.
Because
you know why are they keeping track even if they're just not gonna do anything about it?
Yeah, is it like political leverage?
So this goes back to you saying that you wanted a UN plate, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you'd be able to park anywhere, do anything you want.
Dude, it's like a doctor's plate times 10.
You would be jumping the drawbridge as it's opening, right?
I probably would. Yeah, you know what? Even if I made such a bad decision, I would have immunity.
It's true.
They would keep track of it.
Diplomatic immunity is what you're saying.
Oh, man,
right?
I got it.
But apparently that's not true. They actually are responsible for that fine. But they're just not paying it.
They're keeping track.
You know what this reminds me of?
What's
just
that?
Sort of
what?
A little bit.
What?
Here in Georgia, we have a toll road just outside of our building.
Oh.
And the toll is 50 cents.
400,
now,
yeah.
Now, there are people that go through that continually without paying, you know, the pass lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fine, you know, the paperwork fee that goes along with that 50-cent toll that you didn't pay, if you go through without, you know, having the right card, is like $25.
Yeah, it takes it up to 30.
So if you drive through without paying the toll, it's $25.50.
Mm-hmm.
And then they charge interest on that, you know, as time goes along. So there was someone here, I believe, they were just recently had an amnesty program where if you paid the fees that you owe.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, I remember.
I think there was a woman that had gone through, I forget the number of times, it was in the thousands. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the dollar amount that she owed, but it was outlandish. I mean, the cost of a big home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that person ever came forward and paid the fee. I would
right.
think not. But they know who the person is. That's my point, is that, you know, they know who the person is. They know the fees owed. Mm-hmm. They're just not collecting them. They're saying, hey, why don't you come on and turn yourself in?
It costs so much more to pursue someone. You know?
And, you know, it wasn't just that one person. There's
hundreds.
There are companies that do it. There are individuals that do it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
People just passing through the state do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this kind of reminds me of that, you know, there's a tally rolling here and, you know, someone's just not coming forward and saying, yeah, here's what I owe.
Put it on my tab, yeah. Department of Transportation.
Exactly. So that kind of shoots down the whole, UN parking plate thing. Huh?
Well, I don't, you know, Georgia and New York City are very different. Atlanta is a very different place. They've got toll roads everywhere up there, too.
Yeah, true.
So I guess a big thank you to Jed from Brooklyn, Jerry from Valdosta. You guys have broken down some pretty interesting things for us.
Mm-hmm.
We hope our listeners enjoyed the emails as much as we did. Do you have, do you remember, guys, earlier when we asked about the international driver's license story?
Yeah.
If you got one, let us know. If you want to keep in touch with us, you can talk to us on Facebook. You can talk to us on Twitter. That's Car Stuff on both of those.
That's right, Ben. And on our Twitter account, I believe there was someone asking to see your Monte Carlo. So you may want to get on uploading a photo of that thing. I think a lot of people want to see it.
I need to wash it, man.
Yeah.
You need to – if I do Monte Carlo, you need to put the Civic in.
Oh, okay. We'll see.
Now it changes.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, guys. Well, that pretty much does it for Mr. Benjamin and myself today. I think we're going to mosey out of here.
Yeah. We'll have to leave these comfy chairs.
Yes, and we're also going to have to leave you with one last thing, which is our email address.
Yep, that's right. And it's carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.